Let me mention, too, I did not mention it when we were making announcements a while ago. There is a list back there for snacks for our kids' day. And if we could get an idea of what we have volunteered to bring, that would be a blessing to us and to the kitchen. And so if we can help with that, stop on your way out and take a look and see what you can do. We'd be very grateful for that. And looking forward to seeing what God is going to do as we labor together for the cause of Christ. In your Bibles tonight, if you will, we're going to start in the book of Romans, chapter number 3. Romans chapter number 3, that's our jump-off spot, and we'll also be referring to it a little bit later in the message. And tonight, if you are in the habit of taking notes, it might be good to do that because we're going to look at a lot of Scripture, so much so that I'm not going to ask you to turn there. I have written them out, and I'll read those and give the thought from that text. But we'll not be going to all those, but we have a large number of texts that we want to look at tonight. The idea is that we preach the Bible. We don't preach about the Bible. We preach the Bible, the Word of God. And so we want to stick by that and stay with that. And so the subject tonight is the fear of the Lord. Romans chapter 3 is where we're going to start. And we've prayed a couple of times. I believe that God is visiting with us in a good way, and so we'll continue tonight, Romans chapter number 3, and we want to look at one verse to start with. The Bible says in verse number 18, the Bible says, there was no fear of God before their eyes. Now, this has been a number of years ago that this was written, and let me say that the fear of the Lord has not entered the eyes of the world, much more in most places anyway, than it was when the Apostle Paul was asked of God to write this down for us. The problem with the world at that time was simply this. There was no fear of God before their eyes. Now, as a way of introducing the message tonight, I want to give you three thoughts. First off, I think we ought to desire the fear of the Lord. Now, I think we get a misunderstanding when we say the fear of the Lord. We're not talking about walking around with some kind of an umbrella over our head so that God can't slap us. What kind of an umbrella would we use to protect us if God wanted to slap us? And so we're not talking about that. We're talking about this reverential love and submission and idea of obedience that is so intensive in our hearts that we're just afraid or we're fearful to disappoint God. We fear Him more than we fear everything else put together, and we just want to have this relationship with Him that's something super special, the kind of a relationship He wants to have with us, and so we ought to desire to have the fear of the Lord. Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 11 says, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to my prayer, to the prayer of thy servant, and to the prayer of thy saints who desire to fear thy name, listen, and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Here Nehemiah simply says that there is a prophet. These people desired the fear of the Lord. And Nehemiah says there's a prophet in that. That ought to catch our attention. Even in a world that hates God, that ought to catch their attention. There is a prophet in fearing the Lord. The second thing I want you to note, and we'll refer to this again later in the message, the fear of the Lord is something that is chosen. We choose to do that. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 29, the Bible says, For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. And so evidently the fear of the Lord is something that we choose. You know, you go into a Walmart and there's things you choose. You pick up this banana and throw it away because your teacher taught you that bananas are yellow and these are all green and so they don't work and this one doesn't work. But we choose. We pick and choose through life. And one of the things that we ought to choose is the fear of the Lord. And then the next thing I want to leave with you for in the way of introduction is the Bible teaches that the fear of the Lord is blessed. In Psalm 61, verse number 5, the Bible says, "For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name." God has a special inheritance. You may not have a rich uncle. Your grandpa may have passed away and some other family member stole all his riches. I don't know. But God has a special inheritance that he wants to give to those people who fear him, who live with this desire to not disappoint God, not to get God upset with him, not to let him down, not to disappoint him, I guess is what I want to say. Well, as we study the scriptures, and we'll be several different places, and so take some notes if you want to. First off, we see that some things about the fear of the Lord are readily revealed. Do you know tonight that if we don't fear the Lord, people know that? People can sense whether or not you fear the Lord. Now, we can put on our best clothes. We can polish our shoes. We can put on our nicest necktie. We can go to a store and buy us a brand new necktie or whatever. And yet, if we're not fearing the Lord, there's just something in our persona. There's something in our life. There's something in our voice. There's something in our behavior and our demeanor that says they don't really fear the Lord. Listen to what the scripture says to substantiate that. In Genesis chapter 20 and verse number 11, the Bible said, "And Abraham said, because I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place, that they will slay me for my wife's sake." Abraham came into Egypt and he looked around and he said, "Whoa, these people don't fear God." Now, I don't know how he knew that right off the bat. But right off the bat, he told his wife, said, "I want you to tell people you're my sister because you're a good-looking young lady and they're going to take you after they kill me and you're going to be someone else's wife." So he said, because the fear of the Lord is not in this place. Maybe he heard the way they were talking. You know, when Peter wanted to prove to those people that were around the campfire as they anticipated the mock jury or the mock trial of the Lord Jesus, and later they anticipated his crucifixion, and they were there, and Peter came on the scene, and one of those little girls said, "I know that thou art one of them. You were with him. I know that." And after the third time, Peter cursed to prove that he didn't know the Lord Jesus. Boy, when I hear somebody cursing, I say, "Oh my goodness, how my daughter said to a person one time, "Do you kiss your mama with the same mouth you just said that with?" The Bible says that Abraham knew. Maybe he knew by the way they were dressed. Maybe he knew by the manner in which they conducted themselves amongst themselves. I don't know, but Abraham knew that the fear of God was not in that place. And then we see another example of that in Psalms chapter 36 and verse number 1, where David says, "The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before their eyes." David said, "The way that the world is acting says to my heart, they don't fear God. They don't fear God." When you hear the lies and the blasphemous statements and the wicked stories that are told in our society today, that ought to tell your heart, they don't fear God. They don't fear God. And we need to be careful that we don't befriend. Now, we need to friend them in a way that we can get the gospel to them, but we don't need to be bosom buddies with these people if they don't fear the Lord. And if the Spirit of God tells you by the way they're acting, they don't fear God, we better pay attention to that. And so the Bible says that let me read that verse again. "The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart." How they're acting speaks to my heart and says that there is no fear of God before his eyes. We need to pay attention to that. And so we find that the fear of God is readily revealed. Here's another thing David said in Psalms 55 and verse number 19. "God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old," Selah, think about that, "because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God." When men fear God, they change. They start putting off the old things and picking up the new things. And, of course, if a man comes to Christ, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I believe that's in attitude and in action. We just have this desire. And if there's no change, David said, nah, mm-mm. Say what you want. Say what you want. When I was in Johnson, Kansas, they had, years before I came, I was pastor there, they had a Sunday school contest. And they would, if you came to a month of Sunday school, you got a bar or something or another. And then if you're there for a year, you got something to hang that bar on. And this one lady came, and she'd wear her winter coat all the time, because on this winter coat's lapel was this long chain. She had been there something like 35 years, every Sunday. She was there, and she wore that like it was a coat of mail. I mean, it was just there. She took her coat off, ting-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling, put it on, ting-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling, and she wore that, and she was very, very, I don't want to use the word proud because I love this lady. She was very honored to have this. But listen, you can have all those things, but if there's not a change in your speech, if there's not a change in the way you dress, if there's not a change in where you go, if there's not a change in who you go with, if there's not a change in who you're meeting there, the problem is you don't fear God. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And then in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 18, the Apostle Paul says simply, we looked at it as our beginning text, there is no fear of God before their eyes. And of course, he's talking about the world of homosexuality and sodomites and one thing or another. He's talking about the entire group of people. And today we could put transvestites and other things right in the same thing, and we could capstone it by saying there is no fear of God before their eyes. God help us. And then secondly, when we regard things in retrospect, when we go back and look over things, we find that the past heroes from this book, the people that we hold up as godly people, the people we hold up as real spiritual achievers, those people we say to our children, you need to mold yourself after them, you need to walk after them, see what you can learn from this person or that person. Those people all feared God. They all had a fear of the Lord. Abraham in Genesis chapter 22 and verse number 12, the Bible says, and he said, God speaking to Abraham, God says to Abraham, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Here we find that Abraham had great fear of God. He said, and God said, I know that thou fearest God. Lord, how do you know that Abraham feared you? Because he was willing to come up on that march, 3 days, riding those burros and bringing those things and leaving them there at the base of the mountain, walking up the mountain, answering his son's questions about where is this and where is that and how we can do this, how we can do that. And spread his boy out on that altar. You know, we paint our society into biblical surroundings, and we have Abraham raising his knife to slay the boy. No, he didn't do that. He placed the knife on the boy's throat and was going to drag it across his throat, because that's how they had to kill the offering in those days. They couldn't stab them. They couldn't stab the sheep, the goat, the bullock. They had to cut their throat. And God said, when I looked down and saw that, one thing I knew about Abraham, oh, he wasn't perfect. No, he wasn't. He lied about his wife on two different occasions. He wasn't perfect. He went around God's divine plan of a family and one thing and another and had an illegitimate child. He was not a perfect person by any stretch. But God said, one thing I know about him, he feared me. God said he feared him. So we find that the saints of old, the heroes of the faith, feared God. Joseph is another one. I believe personally, this again is Brother Sutton's opinion, I believe that personally that Joseph is the greatest human picture of the Lord Jesus that we have in the entire Bible.
I believe he's the closest representation of the Lord Jesus that we have. And in Genesis chapter 42 and verse number 18, the Bible says, "And Joseph said unto them the third day, This do and live, for I fear God." Joseph said, listen, things could be a lot different than they are right now, but I fear God. I'm not going to try to get even with you. I'm not going to take revenge on you. I fear God. And the way that he acted be pictured the fact that he feared God. And so it wasn't just something that he was saying with his mouth, easy to say, you know, I fear God, an excuse not to do something. No, he really did fear the Lord. And then Nehemiah in chapter 5 and verse number 15 says, "But the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people, and had taken of them bread and wine, beside 40 shekels of silver. Yea, even their servants bear rule over the people, but so did not I, because of the fear of the Lord." Because of the fear of God. Pardon me. And so we find that Nehemiah said, is there a problem in the political society? Is there a problem with people overcharging and people taking upon themselves to rule over people when they have no authority? They have no God-given authority, no political-given authority. It's just an assumed authority. Almost looks to me like God was looking down the road to 2022 and looking to the capital city of our great nation. The problem, overtaxation, the problem taking bribes, the problem charging extra things, the problem, they don't fear God. They don't fear God. They could not do what they're doing if they feared God. And we'll leave that right there for now. And then in Job chapter 1 and verse number 9, the Bible says Satan is talking to the Lord. And he says, "Doth Job fear God for naught?" Well, the answer to that is no. He doesn't fear God for naught. And no one else does either. Because God has promised to bless those that serve him. And so the devil knew, and God knew, and Job knew that the blessings that he had, one of the wealthiest men in the world at that time, and he knew the blessings that he had was because he feared God. And so we need to understand, a great man, Job, had his problems, but he was a great man of God. He was one that we look to for when we're studying patience and one thing or another. Excuse me. I sang too hard or something. And then Noah. Noah is one of my favorite characters. I like to think about Noah. Here's a verse that's very much misunderstood. Your friends that think you have to work your way to heaven will come to this verse, and they read it, but they don't read it. This is what the verse says, Hebrews 11 and verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Here the Bible says that the reason he built that ark was because he moved with fear. He knew God was going to do what God said he was going to do, and he moved with fear. And listen, he didn't build the ark to save himself. He didn't work to save himself. And you can't work hard enough to save yourself. Listen, you can dot all the I's and cross all the T's and make sure your punctuation is exactly the right place and make sure your letters are exactly right spaced, but you're going to flunk your test if you're trying to get to heaven by something you've done. We don't go to heaven by what we've done. We go to heaven by what Jesus has done, or we don't go. And so the Bible says here that Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark, listen, to the saving of his house. He said, I got three boys. Those boys have three wives. I've got a wife. I don't want them to go through what the world's going to go through when God puts me in this ark and shuts the door and the torrents start coming up from the ground and torrents start coming down from above. and all of a sudden everything is wiped out. I don't want my family there. So he said, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do for the saving of my family, for the saving of my house. And he did that because he feared the Lord. And then Moses in chapter 12 of Hebrews in verse number 21, the Bible said, and so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Moses and the relationship that he had with God. Moses talked with God as a man talks to his friend. Moses was allowed to watch God pass by, and God held him, put him in the cleft of the rock and put his hand there to hide himself a little bit. And God walked by and moved his hand just enough that he could see the hinder parts of God. His face shone like a light bulb all the way down off the mountain and for days to come. He had to cover his face because it scared people so much. Pardon me. And the Bible said he feared the Lord. He feared God. So we find that regarding retrospect, all of our heroes, all of them, feared God. And then we find that the fear of the Lord is responsible for great riches. It's responsible for great riches, great benefits. I don't really know if that drinking that water helps much, but I see all the popular preachers, the successful preachers do it, so once in a while I try. Pardon me. All right. Responsible for riches. Fearing the Lord has benefits. Sometimes people will go and they'll apply for a job. And before they go do very much work, they'll be talking about the salary. And then they'll talk about something called benefits. And sometimes your benefits are almost more beneficial than the salary is. When we were in Austria as missionaries, the dollar devalued. It went from 24 shillings per dollar down to 8 or 9 shillings per dollar. I mean, it was really went downhill. And of course, churches in America didn't realize that. And most of them, if they would have realized it, wouldn't have done anything more than pray. Let me back up on that. Some of them did do some extra things for us. But God, it seemed like, instructed us to get a job working on the economy. And so we did that. I went and worked for a restaurant. And when I applied for the job, I said, I'll do anything. There's not a job you have here that's too dirty. They asked me, I said, are you afraid of dirty work? I said, son, I was born on a farm. No, I'm not afraid of dirty work. And they said, well, will you this and will you that and will you something? I said, there's two things I won't do. Number one, I won't have anything to do with liquor. I won't serve it to a table. I won't take it off of a table. I won't put it in the cabinet. I won't put it in the refrigerator. I won't have anything to do with liquor. And number two, I will not work on a Sunday. And they said, okay, we'll put your name down here. We'll call you in a couple of weeks probably. Before I got home, there was a phone call said that they wanted me to come go to work for them. And I forget what it was that I got paid. I got paid by the hour, and I would go over and I'd work in the afternoon, usually from 2 until 4 or 6 maybe, and no Sundays and so forth. We had a couple problems with that, but got that taken care of. But the perks, the benefits that I got, that I didn't got them, I received them, and they were of more value than the salary was. I could shop it at the commissary. I could mail my prayer letter APO, which meant at that time, I think we were mailing for about 28 cents maybe, instead of about $1.50 or $2 a letter. And diesel fuel, I could get diesel fuel on the economy, and I could get it about half the price because I'd go in and they'd give me coupons to go out and get my gas or get my diesel fuel. They actually tried to take my diesel coupons away from me, and they said, "But your van is licensed in Austria. We can't give you." I was working it over the line in Germany. They said, "We can't give you diesel permits to put gas in a Austrian vehicle." And I said, "Does the ambassador living in Vienna, does he get diesel coupons?" "Well, yeah, he does." I said, "Does his vehicle have Austrian license plates on it?" "Well, yeah, he does, but it's a leased vehicle." Okay. I went home. I went to the person that was helping me learn the language, and I told him what the problem was, and he said, let's do this then. What we'll do, if you're willing to donate your car to the church that you're starting, then we'll have you lease it back. We'll get that all in writing and go show that to them. So I went in a couple of days and said, here's my lease for my car. And she was very angry, but she gave me my coupons. And they were worth much more. Listen, the total of my benefits was worth probably twice what my salary was. The benefits that we have from fearing the Lord. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 7 says, fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. There's your benefit from fearing the Lord. God says, I'll give you knowledge. I'll give you knowledge. Sometimes people think that people who spend a lot of time in the Bible are kind of weird. But have you ever noticed how much they know about how many different things they know? Knowledge they're given. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 27 says, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. Who doesn't want to live long and healthy? It prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. In other words, God's telling me that the opposite of fearing the Lord is being wicked. It's being wicked, and it says that the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. That's a pretty good perk if you ask me, and I know you didn't ask me, but it's still a pretty good perk. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 26 says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Someone says, I'm kind of backward. I can't talk. I have problems getting in front of people. I have problems approaching people. And I understand that. Because when I got saved, I was really an introvert. I had this persona that I would put on sometimes, and it said different than what I was, but I was scared to death. I was scared to go get a job. I was scared not to go get a job. I was lacking confidence in a lot of different things. I had quit high school. Because I had to stay and graduate. I had to graduate, Miss Esther. I had to get in front of my English class and apologize for getting in a fist fight in the room. I said, I'm not going to do that. Why would I do that? Well, I don't want to stand in front of those people and say, I'm sorry. Of course, I didn't know the Lord. But I'm telling you this, the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. And the better my relationship is with the Lord, the easier it is for me to talk to people. And let me say this too. If I were to go 30, 60, 90 days without expressing my faith in Christ, without telling people that they need Jesus, then I'd lose my confidence. I'd have to start all over again. And so it's good just to, once you get going, just keep going. And the Bible says the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Listen, and his children have a place of refuge. You know, we're living in a world today that's got a lot of wars and rumors of wars and fighting and one thing and another, hatred going on. But you know, those people in those war-torn countries that know the Lord Jesus, they have a refuge if they fear him. And so that's another one of the perks. Proverbs 16 and verse number 6 says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Two thoughts. Number one, if I fear the Lord, I'm going to depart from evil. I just don't want to partake of the things that satisfy the world. I don't want to get involved in those things. I respect God. I respect his love for me. I respect his sacrifice for me. I fear him. I don't want to be involved in the things of the world. But there's a second thought that goes with this too. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. You can actually, if you fear the Lord, you can actually have an influence on other people that are working evil, other people that are working wickedness, other people that are doing things that ought not to be done to their family, to their community, to their own body and life. By the fear of the Lord, the Bible said, his people have our men depart from evil. Excuse me. Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 23. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. The fear of the Lord tendeth life. I mentioned a while ago that the Bible says he gives us life, longer life, satisfying life. But here it says that he satisfies us. The Bible says, and he that hath it, he that hath the fear of the Lord, shall abide satisfied. You know, the year that I got saved in December. And that year, I think it was 9 or 10 different jobs that I had that year. So that's a little bit better than one a month. Because nothing satisfied. Nothing satisfied. When I was smoking, I smoked 1 or 2 cigarettes a day. That didn't satisfy. Pretty quick, it's a half a pack a day. That didn't satisfy. Then it's a pack a day. Then it's 2 packs a day. Nothing satisfied. But when you fear the Lord, there's a satisfaction that comes into your life. You're satisfied with life. It's a wonderful thing to fear the Lord. The Bible says, he shall not be visited with evil. Somebody said, well, I know someone. And me too. I know several someones. And some of them we could look at and say, well, I think they fear the Lord, but it looks to me like there's evil that's come into their life and it's hindering them. Well, I would think that too if it weren't for Romans chapter 8, verse number 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, I'm not saying that everything that comes into a Christian's life is good, but I can guarantee you, if you love the Lord, you fear the Lord, everything you have, everything that comes into your life, when God mixes it all together, it'll produce good for you. And one day you'll thank the Lord for that. It'll happen. It'll happen. Psalms 147, verse number 11 says, the Lord hath pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. The Lord hath pleasure. Don't you want to look towards heaven and imagine the Lord Jesus smiling at you? Not looking at you like your fourth grade teacher did when you pulled that little girl's hair like you did. I mean, it's much better to have the Lord's pleased with us. And the Bible says that God has pleasure in them that fear him. Chapter 9 of Acts in verse number 31, the Bible says, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified, listen, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Growth in the church, satisfaction in the church, peace in the church, success in the community, in the church, because they feared the Lord. Ephesians 5, verse number 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. In the fear of God. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And so, you know, if we have trouble submitting ourselves to one another, the answer to that is fear of the Lord. It takes care of that. It just takes care of that. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28. Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. We cannot serve God acceptably. Oh, now we can serve enough to please the preacher, enough to please our spouse, enough to please our parents. But if we're going to serve God, the word is acceptably. If we want God to be able to just enjoy our service, smile upon us, and our service be acceptable to him, we're going to have to learn how to fear the Lord. And then we find that fear of the Lord is reserved for those that are ready. In other words, we too can have the fear of the Lord. You don't have to be born in Snootsville You don't have to have a certain kind of car or a certain kind of clothes to be able to gain the things that God wants to give us as benefits. In fact, you can't gain them any other way, the benefits of fearing the Lord. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 29, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. We mentioned that earlier this afternoon, the fact that it's a choice. We can have the fear of the Lord if we choose to have the fear of the Lord. David in Psalms 34 and verse 11 says, come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. How do you gain the fear of the Lord? Well, I think you read your Bible. Spend time with David in the Bible. See how many times when David lived in the fear of the Lord, how God blessed him. And God gave them victories that there's no way, humanly speaking, that you could account for why the victory came, other than God was pleased. You look at other times when David's actions tell my heart, he's not fearing God right now. He would never have done some of the things he did if he was in living in fear of the Lord. He did. And so you visit these people that were on and off in their fear of the Lord, and it teaches you. David says, if you'll come, he said, if you'll just listen to me, I'll teach you. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. You learn that from the Scriptures. Psalms 40 and verse number 3, he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. And so, as we live our life, we testify for Christ, we do a good job of witnessing for Him, others, the Bible says, will learn to fear Him. And then Psalms 19 and verse number 9, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is clean. The fear of the Lord is clean. We live in a dirty, filthy, going to hell society. We live in a place where people do things that you wouldn't think a human being could even comprehend doing that, could even conjure up doing that. We live in a wicked, dark, ugly place. But the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is clean. It's clean. You go out and you're working on a farm. A lot of ways to get dirty on a farm. Maize, they call it some places. Some places they call it Milo. Some places they call it Capricorn. Some places they call it itch. And it's a grain, and if you've ever had a parrot or a small bird, you probably have fed it maize, Milo, Capricorn, or itch. You probably buy that if you buy bird seed. You get a hold of a number 12 scoop shovel and you throw that stuff up over your head into a barn or into a granary when the wind is blowing, you get all that dust, all that itch back on you. And then you go to the house and mom's looking at you. You're about ready to tear yourself apart. And mom says, hey, listen, won't you get on the horse and ride over to Spitzer and take a swim? Oh, man, just to get into that water, hit that water, and you can just feel that itch just leaving you. Oh, that's the way the fear of the Lord is. The fear of the Lord's clean. It's not a dirty thing. It's not a thing we ought to hide from. It's not a thing that we ought to be suspicious of. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is clean. And the Bible says it endures forever. And of course, the word fear of the Lord there is speaking directly of this book. This book is clean and it'll clean you up. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 1. In conclusion, let me just read this verse. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. If we will attempt to live in the fear of God, we'll see changes come into our lives, changes come into our fellowships and our companionships, and we'll see God use us in fantastic ways that we've never thought of before. But it starts with a desire. It starts with a desire. I have to desire to have that fear in my heart. I have to desire to want to please God more than my mother-in-law, more than my neighbor, more than my boss. I have to fear God. And when I do that, then these benefits begin to roll in, and it just makes life worth living. God bless you tonight. Let's bow our heads, please.